We're going to speak a little bit about the Bible this morning. I noticed some literature back there your pastor had put out. This has come from a track. How many of you read this? Come on, now be honest. Okay. You know, your pastor puts things back there for you because they're educational, also to help build you in your Christian walk, okay? When you put something back here about the amazing word or about the Bible, it might be a good idea for you to take it and read it. Amen. You know, it may give you a little bit, it may just make you, you know, it makes me swell up a little bit. I've got God's word here.
Amen.
Yeah? This is God's word. This is not man's word. This doesn't change. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and this book doesn't change.
Amen.
I can rely on it. I've got confidence in it. I'm basing my eternity on it.
Amen.
And it's never failed in me before. And hey, listen, you need to get excited about what you have in the Word of God. You know, if you haven't read that, read it. It's good. I liked it. I may use some of that in a sermon this morning. The most important book in the world. The most important book in the world. No other book even holds a candle to it. By the way, there's been no other book since the printing press that's been on the bestseller list outside of the Word of God, the Bible. Every year, it so far outshines every other book in the world. You know, I wish I had the copyright on it, man. I would be a yeah. No, I wouldn't want the copyright on it. I don't think. In fact, you can't copyright it. That's why. By the way, that's one of the reasons they have so many versions. Economics.
Yes, sir.
If they change, I think 33% of it or something like that, then they can get a copyright on it. So they got to go in, they got to drop things out, and they got to change words here and there, got to change this here and there. And so the New King James Bible has a lot, the New King James Bible has a lot of words in it that are a whole lot more difficult to understand than what the Old King James does, because they had to get to 33%. And just changing these and thous wasn't enough. Had to change more. So they go in, they change things that don't need to be changed. None of it needs to be changed. It's reliable the way it is. So this morning we're going to talk about this Bible, this book. Amazing book. Fantastic book. Marvelous book. Life-changing book.
Amen.
For Christians, it is, and it should be, but it's not always, but it should be the only rule of faith and practice for us.
Amen.
If somebody else comes out with a book and it contradicts the Word of God, throw it away. Don't put it in your library. Don't put it in your home. Don't put it in front of your kids' eyes. It's poison. If it contradicts the Bible, it's not worth your money to buy it. Don't buy it. Don't do it. The Bible. We know how to act from the Word of God. We know what to do.
Amen.
God is not vague or obscure.
Yeah.
He's not mysterious or underhanded. He tells you what's right and He tells you what's wrong. And He hasn't changed His mind. Culture might change, but they don't change God.
Amen.
They say, well, society has accepted our lifestyle. Huh? So what? Society's not going to judge you. It's the ever unchanging God of the universe, and He will judge you. Okay, but it's no other book should take precedence over the Bible in what we believe and in the practice of our faith. It is the most valuable book in the world. And no price could buy the wisdom in its pages. It is a pearl of great price. I mean, everything you want to know about God is included in the pages of the Holy Scriptures. They're separate. They're set apart. They're sacred Scriptures. They're the most marvelous thing you get your hands on. It's Arthur, God. None of the writers were the author. It only has one author, God. They were merely secretaries. And it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration. That means it's God breathed. God literally breathed the words that He wanted penned down. Why do you think you could have so many authors, over 40 authors over a 1,500 year period, and not have any contradictions in it?
Come on.
I can't get two of you all to agree. God had 40 different authors over a 1,500 period. How does that happen? It's because of the supernatural instrumentation of God breathed. The word means literally, inspiration means God literally breathed the words. Not the thoughts, but the words that he wanted penned. These are not the words of Paul. These are the words of God. Okay? It's author. It's life. This is a living book. This is not a dead book. It's a living book. You can read it. You can read a portion of Scripture today and it'll talk to you. And you read the same portion tomorrow and it'll talk to you in a different way. Why? Because you have a different need tomorrow than you had today. It's a living book. It'll meet you. The Word of God will meet you where you're at and meet your needs at that moment, wherever you're at. A preacher will get up here and preach a message. And you'll tell the preacher, man, I really enjoyed that part. And you tell him what you enjoyed about it. The preacher said, I didn't say that. Because God will take his word and he'll apply it to your heart exactly where you need it. Amen.
Amen.
God knows exactly what each of us needs. And what you need to hear this morning is, I may not say what you thought I said, but the Holy Spirit will bring it to your heart, what you need to hear. That's why it's a living book. It's a living book. And its main subject from Genesis to Revelation is the Son of God and the redemption of mankind. God knew before he even created man that he was going to fall. It says that Jesus was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So if God in his mind had already sacrificed his Son, it only had to take place in time for it to become a reality. All the people in the Old Testament, by the way, are saved the same way you and I were. The blood of Jesus Christ paid for their sins too.
That's right.
You know why they were held captive until the death of Christ and the resurrection? Because in time their sins hadn't been paid for. They couldn't go to a perfect heaven.
Amen. Praise God.
Jesus paid for it in time. And in time, then, the Bible says, he went and he took that which is captive and he took the glory with him. Those saints that are waiting, they look forward to the coming of the Messiah. Same blood, same God, same salvation. It took the blood of Jesus Christ to save everybody that's in heaven. You know, there's not going to be anybody in heaven that deserves to be there except Jesus Christ.
Right.
We're going to be there because he made us worthy. Not because we was worthy within ourselves. And there's not going to be anybody in hell that doesn't deserve to be there.
That's right.
They're going to be there because they refused.
That's right.
Rejected the Son of God.
Amen.
That's the book. That's what the book tells you. Good, isn't it? Okay. The main subject is the Son of God, his goal, the salvation, reconciliation of the lost man. What we know about God, we glean from his pages. What we know from our past and our future comes from his pages. Our subject today is the Bible. Let me first tell you something the Bible is. It's inspired. We already talked about that. It's not only inspired, but it's inspiring. How many of you, when you come to church and you hear a good, lively message, it inspires you to go out and do better? It's not the message. It's the Word of God that inspires. The Holy Spirit will take the Word and it'll inspire you. You'll want to go out and you'll want to tell somebody about Jesus. You'll go out and you'll want to live a better life. You'll want to get rid of that. I hope none of you have any alcohol in your house. I believe all Christians ought to be teetotalers.
Right.
I don't believe there's any place for social drinking in a Christian's home and in life. I don't think we ought to give even one little spot or one little inch to the devil where he can get into our lives and our hearts. Flee the very appearance of evil. Could I take a drink of wine and probably not hurt me? Probably. But it might destroy my testimony if somebody saw me. I'm 73 years old today, and I've never had a touch of liquor ever pass my bread. Guess what? Haven't missed a thing.
Amen.
Haven't missed a thing. I did try a cigarette in the first grade. And I walked out of that. We was in a country school. We were so far back in the sticks, they had to pipe sunlight into us. We even had outdoor facilities at that time. And the second graders enticed me to steal a pack of my dad's cigarettes off the nightstand. So I did, took them there. Those second graders looked so smart, puffing. They said, you want to try something? Yeah, I'll try it. So I go, said, no, that's no good. You got to take a real deep draw and swallow it. I came out of there hacking, coughing, turning about 15 different shades of green. And I remember in my mind to this day, about 60-some years ago. I remember in my mind saying, if you have to do that to smoke, I'll never smoke. That's the last time a cigarette's ever touched my lips. You can't tell me that a 7-year-old can't make a quality decision. You can. Guess what? I haven't missed anything.
Amen.
Haven't missed a thing.
Right.
Flee the very appearance of evil. The Bible will tell you how to live. You know why? You know why we don't like the Bible? Why the Bible? Because it gets next to our skin. I can preach about everything in the world until I hit your pet sin.
Yeah, come on.
I don't know what it is. But you know what it is. When my wife passed away, I got rid of the television. Or I got rid of DirecTV, I should say. You know the most valuable thing you have is your time? And if you spend it watching that unprofitable television all the time, you won't accomplish anything. Now, my wife really needed something because she was a quadriplegic the last 14 years of her life. So she had the television on 24 hours a day. But guess what? I didn't sit in and watch it with her. Because I knew it was a waste. For me, it was a waste of time. For her, it was kind of something for entertainment to keep her mind going. But anyway, I'm going to go through this quickly, so bear with me. Oh, I've only got about 10 minutes. He told me I had to let you out before the Methodists get to the restaurant. Okay. It said all scriptures give my inspiration. It said, holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. See, we have a unique book here. I'm in a Bible ministry because it's the most important tool that we have to get the Word of God to the people around the world. But let me go through this. It is inspiring. It's inerrant, without error. It's incorruptible. That means God has preserved it in its purity. It's not corruptible. It's not corrupt. God not only inspired it, but He preserved it from generation. It said to 1,000 generations. So God has preserved His word. It's enduring. I don't care what you do. They've tried to destroy this, burn it, wipe it out. Guess what? There's more copies in print today than there ever has been. Because you're not going to kill God's word. This is His holy, inspired, preserved word, and you're not going to kill it. It's enduring. It is infallible and infinite. It is incessant and incendiary. Incessant means it'll keep beating against your heart. If you're a wicked sinner, it'll keep hitting at your heart door, trying to break you down. Incendiary, it'll set you on fire. It'll burn you up.
Amen.
It'll set you on fire. If you're a child of God and somebody preaches the Word of God, it'll inspire you to go out and do something for God, to get out there and tell somebody about Jesus. It'll inspire you to live a righteous life, to flee the very appearance of evil, so that evil will not get into your life, so that it will not destroy your testimony. It'll burn a sinner's spirit when he comes into the house of God and the Word of God is preached. It'll set him on fire too. He'll either get right or get out. He'll not be able to long stand the fire of God. Yeah. Brother, you preach the Word of God with fire in your gut. Get it out. Read it in and pray it up and explode all over your people with the Word of God. It's incendiary. Okay, I like this, isn't it? It is inclusive. It does not exclude anybody. For all of sin comes short of the glory of God. For whosoever will may come. Yeah. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Listen, it is inclusive of everybody. It doesn't exclude anybody. It's indispensable. I couldn't do without it. I've got to have the Word of God. I've got to have my Bible. I've got to read it every day. Why? It feeds my soul. It feeds my spirit. I want to read it. How many times have you read it through? Everybody read it through at least once? If you haven't, shame on you. I mean that. Shame on you. That means you got some idols in your life because you're spending a whole lot of time, more time doing something else when you should. You should never spend less than at least 3 or 4 chapters a day reading the Word of God. You say, well, I don't have the time. Get up early in the morning.
Amen.
Your bed is your idol. Well, I'm going to sleep until I just automatically just jump out of bed. I have to get out of bed, jump into my clothes, and get on the road to work. I'll get up 4 o'clock in the morning if I have to read the Word of God. You say, I can't do that. Well, then stay up late at night. It's my problem is staying up late at night, so I go to sleep. But I don't do that at morning. I'll get up in the morning. I'm wide awake. I'm ready to read the Word of God. So what's ever best for you? But read it. It's indispensable. You need it. You need the food for the day. You need the thoughts of the Word of God. It's indispensable. It's indivisible. You can't divide it. It is a coherent book from Genesis to Revelation. It's indoctrinating. It'll teach you what is right and what is wrong. Doctrine is important. And there's churches out there that say, we don't teach doctrine. We just want to get together in unity and have a good time. That's not a church.
That's right. Come on.
That's not a church. That's a social club. The Word of God and the church is a place for doctrine to be taught. So you need to know what God expects from you.
Amen.
And this preacher needs to stay in the Word of God and teach you the Word of God so you'll know how to live righteous and get God's smile on your life.
Amen.
It's indoctrinating. It's indomitable. You're not gonna overcome the Word of God. No weapon that Satan has ever forged even comes close to destroying the Word of God. Scientists have tried and have beat upon it with their agnostic and atheistic ideas for centuries, and the Word of God still marches on and changes lives.
Amen.
And changes countries. It's indomitable. It's inflexible. You're not going to bend it just to suit your own little fancy world. It's inflexible. What it is what it is, and what it says is what it says. And if you don't like it, take it up with the author. By the way, he doesn't change.
That's right.
You're in a losing battle.
Amen.
It's influential. No other book has ever influenced the course of humanity like the Word of God has. It's influential. It's ingenious. I couldn't have put the Bible together. Could you think you could have written the Word of God? It's ingenious, man. It's inseparable, insightful, instant, instinctive, instructive, instrumental, integral, intensive, impressive, important, intolerant, intriguing, introductory, intrusive, invasive, illuminating, impeccable, impelling, imperial, implicit, imposing, and incredible. And I don't have time to preach on all those words, but I could preach a little bit on every one of them. However, there are some things the Bible is not. Okay? How about this? However, it is not insensitive. It knows what we are. It's sensitive. It's not insensitive. It is not improper. It is not impudent or impugning. It is not impure or indecent. It is not inactive or immoral or irrelevant, inane or incidental. It is not incoherent or incomprehensible. You can comprehend the Word of God. It is simple to understand, okay? It is not incompatible or incorrect. It is not indefensible. It is, you can defend this word, and I tell you what, you're standing on the rock.
Right.
You won't break the rock. Okay? It's not indefensible or indefinite. It's not indeterminate or vague. It is not indifferent, indirect, indiscreet, indulgent, ineffective, inefficient, inert or inactive, infantile or inferior. Or it is not infirm or inoffensive, insecure, insidious. And I could go on and on. You got an amazing book here. Love it. Read it. Fall in love with God's love letter to you. And you'll find out that when you get in the book will begin to get in you.
That's right.
And when it begins to get in you, you will begin to be changed from the inside. That's where God wants to change you, in the inside. But when the changes come on the inside, the outside, all of a sudden, guess what? We talked about that horizontal relationship. The vertical relationship with God will be right, and the horizontal relationship, your relationship with other people, will come into focus, and you'll treat people like God wants you to treat them, all because of the book. Okay? God wrote it. Its directives are great. Destinies, heaven and hell, her delights. I could go on and on. The scope of the Bible, it covers the whole of human history from creation to eternity future. We know what to expect.
That's right, amen.
No mystery there. We don't know when, do we? But we know it's going to take place.
Amen.
Everything else that prophesied the Bible, by the way, has become correct.
That's right.
100% accurate.
Amen.
So that leads me to believe if it's 100% accurate up to this point, I think it's going to be 100% accurate in the future too.
Amen.
You can rely on it. Love the book. Love the book. The universal theme of the Bible is the reconciliation of man to God. God gave us the Bible for one reason, so we'd know Him. So we'd know Him and what He expects.
Amen.
Heaven is a perfect place for perfect people. If you've never asked Jesus Christ in your heart to save you, you can't get to heaven in your present condition. You're not acceptable. The Bible says He was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. When I stand before the Lord, I won't stand there for judgment for my salvation because I stand in the righteousness of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Not in my own righteousness, because all of my righteousness, the Bible says, are filthy rags. But I'm standing in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and God does not see my imperfections. All He sees is I'm robed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. If you want to go to heaven, you won't get there on your own merit, your own works. You must get there through Jesus Christ. God gave us the book so you could know how and what God expects in order for you to go to heaven. Let's stand. The Bible is reliable, authoritative, it's trustworthy and accurate. All prophecies made in the Old Testament in relation to the coming Christ were fulfilled to the minutest detail. He was born the way the Bible said that He would be born, where He said He would be born. His earthly life was perfectly righteous. His death was not really an act of anybody taking His life, but the Bible states that He gave His life as a ransom. If He's God and He had the power to come off the cross, which He did, and He didn't come off the cross, they didn't take His life, He gave it. Think about that. It was not the nails that held Him to the cross. It was His love for you and for me that nailed Him, that held Him on that cross.
Amen.
Oh, what a love God had for us. God the Father bruised, it pleased Him to bruise the Son that you might have eternal life. Have you asked Him in your heart to save you? If you don't, if you haven't, won't you do that this morning?